Okay, we've, as mentioned earlier, we'd like to look some at insurance tonight. But I realize it seems like a lot of these evenings we just ran out of time, and you know how it is. There were some questions that, well, I know there were some questions that weren't answered. But is there something regarding maybe investing, borrowing, that you would like to have more discussion on before we go into? Good. Insurance. Let's begin by reading Matthew 6, verses 25 through 33. These were at least referred to this morning. I don't remember how much of this was read. This is Jesus' teaching on worry. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking one thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why, take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's been God's desire that we trust Him. And if we are in tune with God, and we trust Him. And it's a given, and Jesus recognized that here, that there are a lot of things that are going to get in the way of that trust. They're going to, and we live among them, and they work against that trust in God. I'm going to read some verses from Psalms also. First from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 11, verse 1, says, In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And these are mostly words of David. And then in Jeremiah, it's talking about the sins of Judah in chapter 17. And listen carefully to verse 5. Then saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In verse 7, just two verses later, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Talks about the difference between trusting in man and trusting in God. And I think that's the basis where we need to start thinking about insurance. And I have a few more comments here. Then I'd just like to know maybe if there's a testimony here about maybe when your trust was tested. Something that strengthened your faith and trust in the Lord. Just anyone that might have a testimony in that area. The world views insurance as something that's part of life. It's necessary. It's important. If someone has an accident and they did not have insurance, you often see that they were not insured. What they're saying is this person was irresponsible. That's the thought behind it. This person was irresponsible. First Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those in his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than infidel. Is insurance a part of providing? There's a lot of facets to this question because there's some insurance that's required by law. If we were totally opposed to any type of insurance and we were going to take that stand firmly, it would change our lives drastically. It's fairly obvious to me that we're not there because, one, we drive cars. And it's law to have liability insurance. Another one is we, different in our number, have employees. And it's law to have workman's comp coverage. That's just a couple areas. It's also often required by lending institutions. If we borrow money, insurance will be required. And I think we understand that, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time on that tonight. But I think insurance is also required by individualism. It's required by me not wanting to be accountable. Or maybe it's required because I haven't been accountable. And maybe I guess I should ask more questions, but I guess I just feel that as the people of God, our insurance should be run at a minimum. And insurance salesmen shouldn't be able to just throw us into the fear and tizzy of, well, that's their ploy. That's what they sell insurance on, is worries. What might happen? And they might give you all the statistics, but you know the statistics are in their favor. One man said about insurance, he says it's not that he doesn't trust in God, it's just that he doesn't trust all the other drivers. And there is an aspect where there may be risks, but the insurance companies do quite well at analyzing those risks. Okay. Does anyone have a testimony of trust? Or maybe where you've seen trust rewarded in someone else's life. Thank you. I see. I didn't realize that. So they would have to have liability insurance. Okay, thank you.
And that's bad money.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on that? The next question. How does trust in God differ from a trust in an insurance company? Okay, how do we sleep? Another thing I thought of along that line is, if you think of what's the worst thing that could happen to you? What does your mind go to? Does it go to your lose? Pardon? That's right. If we lose the soul, our soul, or the soul of our children, that's the worst thing. But I know we're kind of thinking of down a different line. Anything more on the difference between a trust in God and a trust in an insurance company? Thank you. Job had to patiently wait. Now, this next question, I'm going to give it. It may need some explaining what I mean here first, but what is the difference between trusting in the church as a social organization versus trusting in the church as a body of Christ? I'll just give a little bit of a background. When I grew up, I kind of came to the place Steve was talking about, but I that came here under the teaching of this congregation, which is kind of ironic looking back because there hasn't been a lot of that teaching. And growing up, we had insurance, and this discussion would come up at Bible school. And there was these people from these well-organized churches in the East would be there and giving their comments. And you have insurance. Yeah, we have insurance. Well, this is just unheard of, that we would actually have insurance. You know, they didn't know there were any conservative Mennonites left that would actually have insurance. And I said, what if you have an accident, what happens? Well, they pull out, they have this insurance card provided by their church, We just go to the church. And these young guys could go out and get speeding ticket after speeding ticket, and it didn't affect their insurance bill. There was, as far as a that was a social program to them. I'm not saying it was to everybody, but all that was is just where they're getting their insurance. Are there other earmarks of a? I believe that we can develop an insurance program that's a social program in the church. Not, it doesn't develop a trust in the church as a body of Christ. Are there other areas? What about when the church starts making assessments? When we had this much expense in the last year and everybody's portion is this much. Is that a New Testament concept of giving and sharing? As deacon and treasurer, I'm strongly opposed to that. But for other reasons as well.
If you were going to assess directly, you probably receive a lot more information than what you have. The New Testament is to give according to the Lord's process. And you may be able to think more, but tell you back to see the book, see what you know. So therefore, the assessment may not be.
Right. And also then in Acts 11, it says there was a great dearth throughout all the world, and then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea. Then they sent that by Barnabas and Saul. Just a few verses in closing. God has promised to supply our needs. And I think the thing we need to remember, our needs, we measure our needs so often by what we think we need, but to live like we think we need to live. But God knows our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 25, says, this is David speaking, I have been young and now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you know, that doesn't always mean we're going to have bread of our own. I don't know if there's It's humiliating to accept bread from a brother. But I believe it helps us to bind together as a body of Christ. Galatians 6:2, bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's have a closing song.